So we're going to go straight into it and bring up my guest, Penny Bright. Penny, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Vinny. How are you?
Exposing scumbaggery as I do.
So busy, you will never die.
Allegedly. What have you got for us today, Penny?
Well, here's a handy hint to all your listeners. The concept of the rule of law, any issue, there is always going to be some underpinning bit of legislation that's supposed to cover how things are supposed to be done in a proper way. So the thing is to find out, well, what are the rules and regulations that are supposed to apply and are they being followed? Because, God help me, in so many cases, they just make it up. Well, the classic example of that, which is hot news today, is that the Prime Minister's Chief of Staff, Mr. Wayne Eagleson, is under serious fire because of his role in the in this huge fuss about the leaking of records, private records of a Fairfax journalist, Andrea Vance. And I just want to make it clear to people, because this is not widely known, the difference between the role of the Chief of Staff, who is attached to the Prime Minister's office, and the role of the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet. Because, in my considered opinion, this Mr. Wayne Eagleson should not have had anything to do with instructing anybody to do with matters relating to Andrea Vance. So the first point is this, that, see, I subscribe to parliamentary services where you can actually get the questions that are asked in the House, etc., and it's really handy because you can keep totally up to date with the Hansard record. And what happened on the 31st of July was David Shearer asked the Prime Minister, does he stand by his statement that, quote, when my Chief of Staff speaks to someone, they speak for me? John Key replied, yes, David Shearer. Did his Chief of Staff ask Parliamentary Service for information on or records of phone calls from the Parliamentary Precinct as part of the Henry Review? John Key, quote, I think it's important for the record just to relay what my Chief of Staff did. So effectively there are two things. Mr. Eagleson, who's the Chief of Staff, emailed the offices of the ministers who had received the report to inform them, that's the Kitteridge report, that on my wishes they should comply with the inquiry. And secondly, on the 9th of May, he emailed Jeff Thorne at Parliamentary Services to confirm that I wished him to make available the inquiry records in relation to ministers and their staff. The key point here is, should Wayne Eagleson as Chief of Staff been involved in this at all? And my considered opinion is absolutely not. And the reason why I say this, and I'm taking this straight from the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet, and people can check this out for themselves, www.dpmc.govt.nz/dpmc. Here we go. Administrative support to the Prime Minister. This includes preparations of replies to parliamentary questions and dealing with Official Information Act requests and other correspondence. A totally separate body, the Office of the Prime Minister also advises the Prime Minister. It is the primary point of responsibility for managing political issues and relationships with other political parties and for providing administrative and media support. Structure. The Department of the Prime Minister and Cabinet formally came into existence on the 1st of January 1990 as a result of a report which recommended establishing structures to provide two separate streams of advice to the Prime Minister. One, a new government department to supply impartial, high-quality advice and support to the Prime Minister and Cabinet, DPMC, and another, a Prime Minister's private office, which is not part of the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet to provide personal support and media services and advice of a party political nature. So why is Wayne Eagleson, Chief of Staff of the Prime Minister's private office, being involved in these matters? End of story.
Can you elucidate on exactly why this is unlawful, Penny?
Well, it's just that that there's two quite separate structures here. And again, it just seems that the propensity at the highest levels of this country where they just make it up, there are rules set for clear reasons and they're not being followed. And I believe myself that the Prime Minister's Chief of Staff, it's like his minder, his political minder, or arguably his spin doctor because he's dealing with the media, etc., at the highest levels should not be involved in advising ministers at this level. It's not his job. It's not his role. And what's happened is that this Jeff Thorne, who is the head or was the head of Parliamentary Services, he just resigned yesterday. He has fallen on his sword. But you've got this Chief of Staff, Wayne Eagleson, who's been the one who's been telling Parliamentary Services, like, I'm speaking on behalf of the Prime Ministers, and what to do, when how was that his role? I think that Wayne Eagleson, he also should fall on his sword. He's not acting in a proper way. And that totally implicates John Key as well. I mean, when you're a former foreign exchange dealer or the head of derivatives for Merrill Lynch, where you do deals over the phone or do deals over dinner, that's how you do stuff. But it's no way to run a country. And in my considered opinion, John Key has brought his private sector ways with him, and he's not acting as a prime minister and following this top public service job.
Well, Penny, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Yes. What's the difference between a country and a corporation these days? I think they're one and the same. He's the perfect person to run it like a company.
Well, the fact of the matter is there are a whole stack of... it comes, again, back to the rule of law, in my view, and that, you know, like, if you don't know your rights, you haven't got any. But if you know their statutory duties and you know your rights, you've got them in a pincer movement, which makes it very difficult for them, because in so many cases, like I say, they're not following the rule of law themselves. And when you throw that back to them, throw it back in their face and demand they do their job in a proper way, then absolutely they're buggered, because who else is holding them to account? You see,
well, you know, it should be the media. It should be the media. But unfortunately, I saw this post by One News last night that John Key, and I wanted to get your comment on this, Penny. John Key says that there's Al-Qaeda in New Zealand. Therefore, we should pass the GCS bill and spy on all New Zealanders in order to protect us from the boogeyman. And dig this. This is the most interesting part. Every single comment, except one. Out of 250 comments, there was one comment that wasn't calling John Key out as a complete liar and exposing that Al-Qaeda was created by the CIA and is still working for them today.
Well, you have to ask yourself the convenience of this comment when there's only one vote in this, trying to pass this, the GCSB legislation. I mean, the bill's gone through its second reading now, but it's only on one vote. It's very touchy. I know that, given the heavyweights that have come out against it, that there's a lot of people that must feel very uncomfortable, even within the National Party, in my view. But just to play the terrorist card, well, hello. I mean, well, look at all the surveillance in the United States. It didn't stop the Boston bombings, did it? You know.
Well, that's because the surveillance isn't for protection of the people from terrorists. It's to protect the terrorist state from the people.
I think that's quite neatly put. In fact, I might pinch that. Very good. Exactly right. But back to the rather beleaguered Chief of Staff, Wayne Eagleson. You see, this is not the first time that I've found that he stepped into waters where he shouldn't be swimming, because I did an Official Information Act request back to the Prime Minister on the 5th of April this year, and I asked, how are you inducted or familiarised with your statutory duties arising from the Public Records Act? Because at the highest levels of this country, they're supposed to create and maintain full and accurate records so the public can have confidence. But then I discovered, to my horror, the Cabinet Manual, what they made reference to was only the need to store and dispose of records. So at the highest levels, as per the Cabinet Manual, the need to create records was not being enforced. And I have raised this issue because what you're having are serious matters, affairs of state, where the Prime Minister's meeting with ministers, meeting with all sorts of other very highly placed people. Nobody takes the minutes and nobody seems to be able to remember the conversations. Well, that might be how you do things when you run Merrill Lynch, but that is no way to run a country. So I also outlined other key bits of legislation. I made the point that as New Zealand is perceived to be the least corrupt country in the world, that we arguably should be the most transparent. And arguably the laws, regulations and culture which apply in the private corporate world are not the same which should and do apply to the public sector, of which you are now in charge as Prime Minister of New Zealand. May I respectfully remind you of the pivotal legislation which covers the public sector, public service, as outlined on the New Zealand State Services Commission website, the Crown Entities Act 2004, the Human Rights Act, the New Zealand Bill of Rights Act, the Official Information Act, the Protected Disclosures Act, that's the Whistleblowers Act, Public Finance Act, Public Records Act, State-Owned Enterprises Act, State Sector Act. I mean, how is someone who comes from a background as a foreign exchange dealer and the head of derivatives for Merrill Lynch supposed to know, okay, I'm now in a different job? Like any new job, you need training. You need to know what it is that guides what covers your job. How do you become familiarised or inducted into knowing what this legislation is? Well, what happened was this very same Wayne Eagleson provided a reply where basically what he didn't answer my question. And then I discover to my, because an Official Information Act request should have a unique identifying number up the top for proper records. There was no such unique identifying Official Information Act number. Then I discover, to my horror, the Chief of Staff for the Prime Minister, the Office of the Prime Minister, is not supposed to answer Official Information Act requests. That's not his job. It's the job of the Department of the Prime Minister and Cabinet. So this is not the first time that Wayne Eagleson has outstepped where he's supposed to, his job and where, what he's supposed to do. So anyway, I'm really going to plug this today and your show. This is the scoop on this because in terms of explaining to the public the difference between these two roles, who else is telling the public? Good on you, Vinny.
Thank you, Penny.
Well, hang on, I haven't quite finished yet because
We've got about 50 seconds to wrap up.
I got a reply yesterday from the Privacy Commissioner dealing with my GCSB privacy request, because I think I'm one of the 88 people that's been spied on. And what I didn't know was that anyone that's dealing with Privacy Act requests involving the GCSB, they themselves must have security clearance. So what's happened is the Privacy Act, the Privacy Commission have had a significant number of complaints, and basically this was like an apology letter. Sorry we're taking so long. Please rest assured we are actively investigating your complaint. But it will take time. As soon as I have some issue to report to you, you will receive a telephone call or correspondence from me. But they're still trying to railroad the bill through while a number of us are trying to find out we'll be unlawfully spied on. Not okay. Well,
Penny Bright, ladies and gentlemen, her website is waterpressure.wordpress.com. That's waterpressure.wordpress.com. Easily the most active activist in the country. Always at it, like a dog with a bone, and hopefully she'll chew John Key's leg down to it. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyessenshow.com.